We're going to read some verses together from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John's Gospel, please, chapter 10. And we'll commence our reading at verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to all of your hearts and to mine as well. We're going to bow in prayer just before we say anything from this portion. Father in heaven, I thank thee for the young people who have gathered into the fellowship here in Listuder. I'm glad that thou hast brought them here in safety. I pray now that thou wilt give them diligence in listening to the word of God and help them to really benefit from being here. I pray that the scriptures will be instructive, a word of guidance and a word of encouragement to them all. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. When Rebecca asked me to come and speak to you, she mentioned to me the subject of Christ, the door. I am the door. I'm going to speak on that. So, I was happy to do so. However, in dealing with this subject, I looked at it and felt I'd like to really get the whole context of this statement. And that way, maybe be able to bring out greater truths for you. So, that's what I'm going to do tonight. Slightly different, but it will focus in on what I was asked to do. But can I say this to you by way of introduction? It's not possible to fully grasp the teaching of John 10 on Christ being the door without understanding what takes place in John chapter 9. All right? In John 9, the Savior heals the man who had been blind from birth. It was a wonderful, gracious healing, but it wasn't appreciated by everyone. The Bible tells us that the Pharisees launched an investigation into this healing, more like an inquisition. They really did. They intended that Christ would not get any of the glory and that rather they would undermine him. He had healed a man, done something wonderful, but the old Pharisees wanted to put Christ down for doing this. They tried to get the man who was blind to say he wasn't even blind in the first place. That was one of the ways they tried to undermine the Lord. But his parents even confirmed, of course he was blind. His reply to this, they actually went on then to infer that Christ was a sinner and couldn't have done it. But the man replied in verse 25, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And the Pharisees reviled him for saying that. They really got worked up, that's what it means, and angry with him. They attacked him. Then they then said, oh, Christ has broken the Sabbath by healing you today. And that was wrong. So, do you see what's happening here? These Pharisees are saying, he couldn't have done it because he was a sinner. And the man says, well, he did do it. And then they say, oh, well, then he shouldn't have done it on the Sabbath. That was wrong. and he's not a servant of Moses, so he was wrong for doing that. They're moving the goalposts. If you're a Christian and the devil starts to attack you, it'll not just be one thing and then that's it over. He'll come back and come back and come back. And that's what's happening here in John chapter 9. But the blind man, he makes a very valid point after he was healed when they're arguing with him and debating and trying to undermine the Lord. Verse 33, he says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And the blind man says to him, well, you can say whatever you wish, but let me tell you, you're saying he wasn't of God? Well, I'm saying to you, if he had not been of God, he couldn't have done what he did. And he's just basically saying to them, the proof is this, look at what the Lord did for me. He healed me. That proves that he is who he says he is. And he didn't just heal one, as you know, he healed so many people. Multiple proofs that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. So, the blind man is saying he is the Son of God, and they're arguing he's not. Later, some of the Pharisees say to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 40 of chapter 9, are we blind also? Why did they do that? I'll tell you. They knew that the Savior had been teaching that all men were spiritually blind, needed their eyes opened, needed to be saved, right? So here they come to him and say, well, are you saying that we are blind as well? Because they didn't like the teaching that they were sinners. They didn't like it. You see, they were learned theologians. They were men of the cloth. They did not think of themselves as being like the uneducated masses. They thought, this man's going around healing sick people, teaching people that they're blind sinners. Don't think much of that sort of preaching. They were very angry about it. You see, they were very proud and arrogant people. That's their problem. Essentially, they're asking, are you saying we're blind sinners? And the Lord's answer in verse 41 makes it abundantly clear. Yes, you are proud men who think you're good enough to get to heaven, but you're not. Because everyone's a sinner. And everyone's born in sin. You as well. And you're refusing to accept it, but you need to. You need to. Now, we're moving very quickly into our study. The vital point that we have to grasp is this, and it's vital. These Pharisees profess to be the guides and the shepherds of the people, the spiritual leaders, the followers of God, the Bible teachers. That's what they professed. But the Lord Jesus Christ has just charged them with being blind and not being qualified to teach the people the things of God. And then Christ proceeds in chapter 10 to say what a true shepherd really is. He proceeds in this chapter to say what a hireling and a false prophet is. He proceeds in this chapter to talk about the true sheep, who they are. And he proceeds in this chapter to talk about the door, the one door to heaven. So, what I'm saying to you young people is this. Chapter 10 must be understood as a contrast to chapter 9. As a response to chapter 9. Where Christ is saying, do you see the falsehood in chapter 9? Well, let me now tell you the truth. That's how you have to see these verses in chapter 10. There's a lot of false teachers, a false gospel. But let me bring you the truth now. That's the key to understanding chapter 10. And I have three simple headings. I'll leave them with you quickly about what we have now in chapter 10. Try and open this all up for you. Well, number one, it is a parable, so I've called this the pictures in the parable. Parables were about pictures, Christ drawing pictures and describing things, earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And there are certain pictures in this parable. Let me just mention the pictures to you. He talks about, first of all, our subject, the door. That's the first wee picture we have here. Look at verse 1. He that entereth not by the door. The door. Christ talks about the door. Now down through the centuries, young people, many things have changed, haven't they? Little wooden fishing boats have been replaced with multi-million pound high-tech trawlers. Big changes. It used to be people were transported in little carts behind donkeys or mules or something like that. Now they can be transported around the countryside in cars up to 150 miles per hour. A lot of things have changed down through the years. Fair enough. But not doors. Doors haven't changed that much in the last 2,000 or 3,000 years. Of course, you might get one that opens and closes automatically. And notice the one here in the wee hall in the studio is not like that. It's not only as you walk up and just opens. So there are some little changes to doors. Also, I suppose you could say the old wooden door in many places has been replaced with PVC or aluminium, whatever, you know. There's slight changes. However, the basic function of a door is the same today as it always was. There's a door, a frame, a few hinges. The hinges attach the door to the frame, and the door opens and closes, usually with a lock or a snib on it. That's the way it has been for a long, long, long time. A door is something that's in place so that people can enter a building, feel safe in the building, and it's there also to exclude those who ought not to be in the building. A door is there for safety. A door is there for security. A building without a door, whether it's a private or a public building, is quite unthinkable because doors are necessities in a building. Without them, all sorts of undesirables and unwelcome people would just walk on in. You couldn't sleep in your bed at night if you didn't have a safe door securely locked in your home. If you don't have a proper door in your home, you couldn't even leave your possessions down for someone, unfortunately, quite possibly, walk into your property and steal your belongings. So, a door is important. If you wish to enter a building, the way to do so is to go through the door. Through the door. If you want to go out, through the door. That's the first picture. The pictures in the parable, the door. But let me mention quickly these other pictures before we move on. There's a picture here of the sheepfold as well. Look at verse 1. Into the sheepfold. Now the sheepfold was an enclosure in the fields where the sheep were collected and kept at night. Why was that? Back then, to keep them safe from thieves who would steal the sheep, and from wild animals, dogs, even wolves, who would attack the livestock. So the sheep were free to wander a little during the day as they grazed in the Saviour's time. When I say wander a little, that's because the shepherd was always with them to make sure they didn't wander off completely. And then at night time, the sheep were rounded up and put into the sheepfold. That's another picture we have in this portion of Scripture. This sheepfold is what we would probably call a pen. Putting the sheep into a pen at night to keep them safe. Obviously, there were doors into the sheepfold, or we'd call them a gate. All right, so we've got the door here, we've got the sheepfold, and there's obviously a door or a gate into the sheepfold. Then the other picture is that of thieves and robbers. They're mentioned. It says in verse 1, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. The thief is somebody who silently and secretly takes away your property. The robber, he does it more by violence and bloodshed. And they're both very undesirable. And the Lord Jesus Christ is describing people here in this portion who were not true pastors or shepherds of the sheep. They didn't take on the Lord's work because they loved him. It's more because they loved preeminence, position, the money, whatever. They weren't faithful at all. Thieves and robbers. There's another picture here of the shepherd. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd. Well, we all know what a shepherd is. You need to understand all these pictures to get the story properly. The shepherd is the one who looks after the sheep. He knows the ones that belong to him and he takes care of them. The role of the shepherd has changed over the years, slightly different in the Western world to the Middle East, of course. Back in the Saviour's day, the shepherd would have been with the sheep all day. Open grazing, see, it's not, you, in Northern Ireland we think of each man puts his sheep into his field, which has his own fence, boundary, etc., etc. But back in the Saviour's day, it wasn't like that, and the sheep could have wandered a bit more. The shepherd was always with them to take care of them. The shepherd. In our part of the world, the sheep can wander about through the fields, even in the mountains, without the shepherd. But I like the New Testament picture, where the shepherd was always with his sheep. Always with them. It's a beautiful picture, you know, the way Christ is always with his people. If you're a Christian, Christ is your shepherd. And just like in ancient times in the Middle East, he's always with you. No matter what you face, no matter what problems you have, you remember the shepherd is with his sheep. It's a picture of the shepherd here. There's also a porter mentioned in verse 3, to him the porter openeth. We believe from the reading of that that some of the Jews were quite prosperous and they would have paid someone to be like a man who manned the gate, opened up the gates or the doors to let the sheep in and closed it. A bit like a maybe security guard, something like that. You know, it's very interesting, the porter he opened up for the sheep to come in. It's a bit like the true servant of God. He opens up the way for the sheep to come to Christ. And you can be that, not just me as a preacher, but you. You could be the one that opens the door for somebody to come to the Lord by the way you live, the way you talk, by your witness and your example. You could be the one that helps somebody come to Christ. Finally, in this wee section on the pictures in the parable, we have the sheep in verse 3. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The sheep belong to the shepherd. And the sheep follow the shepherd. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, if you've trusted the Lord, you belong to Christ. And he's the one that you follow. That's what the sheep must do. And I want you to remember that. Follow the word and the example of Christ. These are the pictures that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. The pictures in the parable. But then, in the second main point, we have the Saviour who saves. The Saviour who saves. If you look at verse 7, it says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now here the Lord Jesus Christ makes sure that his hearers are very clear as to who is spoken of in the parable and what this all refers to. Christ says, he is the door. He's saying, I am the way by which ministers come to God, and I am the way by which people come to God. The shepherds and the flock, they must all come through me. He's the only one who can save. And we all need to be saved. But he's the only one who can do it. He is the only door. And if you want to be saved from your sin and you want to be safe from the attacks of the devil, the same way the sheep had to be safe and held in that fold, if you want to be safe, then you must come to Christ. You weren't born a Christian, you were born a sinner. And you have to come to the Savior. Come through the Savior to be a Christian. Do you realize that? I hope you do. And the Lord Jesus Christ says here, I am the door. Singular. The door. There are not many doors to heaven. That's what people say today, oh, there are many ways back to God, and as long as you're sincere, you'll make it. Young people, that's not right. That's totally unscriptural. Christ says, I am the door. There's one door to heaven, one way. You know something? Think about it. If there was a pen or a sheepfold in a field, right? I don't know if you ever would have seen a program. It was an old program. It used to be on TV and as a lad. I think they did bring it back again for a while. I don't know if it was very successful or not. One man and his dog. You ever see that? Nobody? No? Right. Basically, sheepdogs. Can I? Oh, no. Aha. One of the older young people knows that program. Right. It's the competitions where the sheep are let go free and the shepherd out with a whistle sends the dog out round the wee collie and it brings the sheep in and gets it into the sheepfold and it's who can do it in the quickest time and there are various rules and regulations. But basically you're talking about in the middle of the field in the arena, a pen, right? What we're talking about, the sheepfold and the gate. And, you know, the man was still with the wee whistle and the wee doggy brought it all round and the gate was open and when the dog finally got the sheep in, he closed the gate. Can you imagine? Try and imagine this. If there were three or four gates into that pen, wouldn't that be chaotic? I mean, the sheep wouldn't know which gate to go through. It would be totally chaotic. You don't do that. That's just not the way it's done. There only is one door to heaven, but if there were many doors, what would happen? People say, oh, my door's better than yours, my way is better than yours, yours won't work, mine works better. You know, there would be total confusion and anarchy, chaos, and no one would know what's right and what's wrong. God in his wisdom has opened up one way back to heaven. Christ is that door. The only door. And that's why we believe with all of our hearts if we trust him. We're in the sheepfold. We're safe. He's looking after us. Step through the door. Christ is the door. I was thinking, you know, if there were many doors or even any other door, it's a false door. It's a false way. It's a bit like stepping through the door, expecting there to be something concrete on the other side and just dropping and dropping and dropping. Because if anyone believes there's any other way to get to glory other than Christ, it's like stepping through a door and then falling through a trapdoor into a lost eternity. Because there is no other way. He's the only way to safety. The picture's in the parable, the Saviour who saves. And you know what this all means? And I'll conclude with this for you. This all means there is provision and protection through the Son of God for all of you, if you trust him. Provision and protection. Now what do I mean by that? Well, in verse 9, it says, Christ is the door, by him if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and then, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, I have rhymed off that wee line for years. I learned it in Sunday school, I learned it in kids' meetings, I learned it over and over again. What does it actually mean, shall go in and out and find pasture? Well, don't forget, we have to remember we're talking about the sheep and the door and the sheepfold and the shepherd and all of that. And you have to go through the door to be saved. But then you go in and out. You see, the sheep have to go into the sheepfold at night, where they're safe. And then they have to come out in the morning to graze. So that's just what sheep do. So the going in and out, that speaks of the normal, everyday, routine things that we have to do. We have to do many, many things. There are many duties for us to perform. When you get a bit older, you're going to have to earn a living. Go out and work. Go out and do those things. You have to maybe rear a wee family if you get married. You have to go in and out. You have many duties to perform in life. Things to accomplish. Things to do. And you know, after you trust Christ and go through that door and you're in his family and in his fold, there'll be going in and going out. That's the run-of-the-mill things you have to do in life. You have to do those things. And if you do them, God will provide everything. everything you need. Because he provided pasture for the sheep. That's why they went out to the pasture. And he'd protect you. They come into the sheepfold at night. There's pasture, there's protection. Listen, young people. Come to Christ. And he'll take care of you. And I can honestly say that. I'm a lot older than you. But I was saved when I was young. And I can tell you, all through my life, from the moment I went through that door and got saved, he has provided for me and he has protected me. It hasn't been easy. You know that. You know it's not easy to be a Christian. You can be attacked and get it hard. But I'm telling you, no matter how hard it is, the Lord will take care of you. The same way he's teaching here, he takes care of the sheep. I'll quote two verses of scripture before I finish. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. That's God providing. That the sheep go out getting the pasture, he'll provide all that you need. Would you remember that? He'll provide everything. And the last verse is Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He'll protect you. Every day you live, he'll protect you. Provide what you need and protect you. By day and by night. You know something? Christ is a wonderful Savior. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. He is a wonderful Savior. Because I can say, all day and all night, he watches over his people. That's the whole overall context of this portion about the door and the sheepfold and the shepherd and the sheep, etc. I hope you've learned through this the key point. Christ is the door, the way to safety, and the way for all your needs to be met. Thank you very much for being so attentive. I really appreciate it, and I trust that God will bless his word to you and draw you closer to the Saviour.